This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. The Memorial of St. Kateri Tekakwitha by Father William Doc Holliday.
The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The story of the burning bush. God speaks to Moses. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God communicates himself to us not just directly, and this is a prime example of him doing both ways, presenting himself to us by revelation directly, but also by what he has done through people before him. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He's speaking to Moses hundreds of years after these patriarchs are dead. But he refers to them because he wants Moses to recall what God did through them also. Not just here I am in the burning bush, but also to, again, present himself as he worked through others. This is something that we need to take away from ourselves today. Because when God appears to Moses in this burning bush, again, let's look at first and foremost when he presents himself. He presents himself in a way that is consistent. And no, all of us know the scriptures. You just have to put two and two together sometimes. When God appears to Moses in this burning bush, flame, the bush is not consumed. Moses, I need to go over there and see this great sight. The bush is burning. It is not consumed. Is there any other place in scripture where the Holy Spirit is fire and not consuming whatever he's lying on or whomever he's lying on? Pentecost, he comes as tongues of fire. He's laying on each and every one of the apostles, and he doesn't consume them. So we get this tie-in between who is speaking to Moses and then who is hovering over the and giving power to the apostles in Pentecost. This burning bush, the Holy Ghost, the one who does not consume, that he sets on, but is fire nonetheless. We have to appreciate this, because when we appreciate this, we appreciate who the one was that was on the apostles at Pentecost and who, we have to bring it up to our word, who consumes us or lights upon us but does not consume us. At our baptism, the first time we're infused by the power of the Holy Ghost is at our baptism. We see that that same Holy Ghost that is infused into us at our baptism is the same one who appeared to Moses in this burning bush. And we learn things about him that, you know, some things we talk about God and they sound so dry and theological. For instance, the attributes of God, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and all these omnis that he has. And the attributes. Where do we get that stuff? We get it from places like the burning bush, where he lays the foundation of these things. We learn from the time when Moses is confronted by God in the burning bush, his attributes. He's eternal. He's eternal. I don't remember him saying he's eternal to Moses. He doesn't have to. Moses said, who should I tell him sent me? I am who I am. I am the one who was and is. You know, you guys are bound by linear time. I'm not. I'm the one who always has been. I'm the one who speaks to you from the bush. And I'm the one who will speak to you in heaven eventually. Okay, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, this is why we have the liturgy in our prayers. You know, he is who is and was and is to come. He is eternal. We learn that from this. He is immutable. He does not change. When I talked a few weeks ago on a Sunday about his will and how it is presented to us, his decretive will, his perceptive will, his will of permissiveness. When we look at these things, we see that God, although he manifests his will in different ways, he does not change. And for instance, we get it in a nutshell with Moses. Here Moses is, Moses has given God like every excuse why he's not going to go get the people. Who am I? I'm slow of speech. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'll send somebody to help you out. I'm nobody. Who are they? God giving him the holy eye roll. Moses, hush up. Go do what I'm going to tell you to do. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, okay, Moses, I didn't think about that one. No, he's decreeing something that's going to be done. And it's immutable. He didn't care how messed up you are. Makes me feel better. He doesn't care how messed up you are. He will work through you, okay? And he will get done what he wants to get done. His omniscience, we see that. One of the omni, one of the big theological terms. I have seen the affliction of my people. And it wasn't like a news flash for him. I've seen the affliction. It'd been going on for 400 years. God's a timeless God, and he's patient. We don't like his patience sometimes because then that means that we have to deal with things longer than we think we should have to. He's God. He knows what he's doing. I have seen the affliction of my people. He knows everything. He knows you don't have to. You're not giving him any new information. We see his mercy because he's going to deliver these people, and it's going to be him that does it. They're not going to lift a finger. They're not going to be armed. They're not going to rebel against the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, it's going to be just the opposite. God's going to do everything to them and his faithfulness. He appeals to Moses by referring to what he has done through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made promises to them, Moses. Again, this was centuries before this burning bush incident. Centuries before. And he said, no, I made promises to them, and this is where I'm going to start fulfilling them, Moses. I'm going to start fulfilling them here. The promises to the patriarchs are what shows God's faithfulness. This is where we learn these things about God, his attributes. The Holy Spirit speaking to Moses through this bush, and the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the scriptures, same God, immutable. He does not change. Message is the same. And all the attributes that he communicates to Moses, he communicates to us. We just have the benefit of knowing a whole lot more about it than Moses did. God changed Moses at the burning bush. He changed him. It took a while. Remember, it took a while and it took some hard lessons. We know the story. We know how this has panned out. Moses does do grudgingly what God wants him to do. He does it well. And then he leads the people as they wander in the desert for 40 years. But what happens? He doesn't get to go into the promised land. Why? Because he's being chastised. He's being chastised. He might be a very faithful man. The scriptures say that God spoke to Moses as a friend, face to face. You might be my friend, Moses, but I'm still God. And when I say to do something, I want you to do it the way I told you to do it. Don't do it the way you want to do it. Chastisement. A lot of people, man, why would God do that to Moses? Moses died. It's a lot better to go to heaven and be with God than it is to go to some real estate deal that he made with the people of Israel. Because when they go in there, guess what they're going to have to do? Fight. Moses didn't have to worry about that. So when you really look at it from the grand scheme of things, because God did let him see it, he let him climb the mount and see it, but he didn't go there. Now, again, we would look at that as some really, really horrible change. You walked with them for 40 years. You should have got at least to go in there. Why? Why? God knows better. Didn't really look all that much different than the place they were before. Again, you're going to go in there and fight for it. God knows what he's doing. We just got to let him do it. But God changed Moses. We have to see what God has done, just like he referred to the patriarchs, to Moses. We have to look at Moses and people like St. Kateri. I looked at St. Kateri. I mean, you know, granted, hundreds of years ago for us, 17th century, young girl, you almost get the same motif, the same story. Moses, he's wandering in the desert, you know, because he's afraid that they're going to hang him for killing the Egyptian soldier. So he's on there. He's a fugitive. He's a fugitive in the desert, and God calls him, has him do that. St. Kateri, same thing. She is an indigenous American. You think about the life back in those days. Yeah, Moses wandering around the desert. She's wandering around the wilderness. Okay, times are tough. Times are hard. You see Moses go, when you start getting involved, all of a sudden, there's going to be hardship. Sort of like our Lord said to Job, gird up your loins like a man. He does the same thing with everybody, everyone who serves him well. There's always this initial and unfortunate, lasting tension between what we were before and what we are now. Again, Moses, St. Kateri, the same Holy Ghost that appeared to Moses in the bush touched her heart through her baptism. God changed her just like he did Moses, you know, and it started out with hardship. What set the stage for her conversion to Catholicism? I mean, it wasn't her people. You know, there were a couple French missionaries that were running around the area right there. They're kind of running scared because they were dying left and right also. But the Holy Spirit worked through, set the stage for, by what? Smallpox. Smallpox. It killed her father, her mother, and her little brother. Her entire family was killed. Oh, that's so horrible. Why would God ever do that? For the conversion of her soul. Maybe that's why. Maybe because she had have just died as whatever her birth name was. If she's just going to die outside the church, not having the Holy Spirit, you know, God will do things for those whom he calls for his purpose. And just like he changed Moses and he fulfilled his purpose, he changed St. Kateri and she fulfilled his purpose also. Her heart was moved just, I would actually say, a little bit softer than Moses was, because she didn't argue the point. She just sat back and basically let the Holy Spirit work through her, didn't understand it, but as her life went on, she just had her eyes open more and more to what he was doing. Her heart was moved by what she saw our Lord doing in her own life. And she put up with a lot of hardship. She was very stalwart in her faith. She started thinking about conversion. Why? Because God worked through one of the chiefs of one of the tribes. He went out on a long hunting trip up north, hung out with some of those French missionaries. He come up and tells everybody he's a Catholic now. And she's impressed by this. How could that happen? What could change there? So she goes on her living her life a few years later, talks to some other Christians, and they're far and few between. It starts family pressures. When you're like a 13, 14-year-old young girl back in those days, and in that historical context, it's time to get married. It's a bold 13 or 14-year-old girl who will look at her family and go, nah, how am I going to get married? Oh, yeah, you are. I mean, they start chastising her in a bunch of different ways. Okay, so you got family pressures. I mean, it's not like she can run to one of her friends or her neighbor's house because her culture is not Catholic. But she remains a stalwart through all these family pressures and cultural tensions until she ultimately embraces our Lord Jesus Christ. What's really cool about St. Kateri is she not only embraced our Lord Jesus Christ, she embraced our Lord Jesus Christ through his Blessed Mother, unlike Moses, okay, because she knew that story. See what I mean about we know more than God, we know more about God than what the early patriarchs did? Moses didn't know anything about our Lord and the Blessed Mother. But St. Kateri, when she was baptized, when one of the last things when her family was confronting her, she says, I have consecrated myself entirely to Jesus, the Son of Mary. You see how much more she understood in her capacity about coming to our Lord through the Blessed Mother. This is where it applies to us. When we see this happening in our own lives, when we see pressures, family, friends, tensions in society, you know, newsflash, guys, if you're doing Catholicism right, they hate you out there. So unfortunately, in our day and age, that if you do Catholicism right, there's a bunch of people in the Catholic Church that hate you. This is reality. We got to be stalwart. We got to stand firm. We have to be attentive to what the Holy Ghost has demonstrated to us, both in revealing himself to Moses and St. Kateri and the way he's done in our own life. You know, why do people wind up deepening their faith? Because of the Holy Spirit. Not many people want to get involved and deepen their faith to the point where they alienate themselves from other people, even other people who consider themselves Catholics. This is just the reality in the times in which we live. It's not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be of one accord, right? That's what the apostles, we're supposed to be of one accord. Why aren't we of one accord? Because there's a lot of people in our church in our day and age that are not one in accord with apostolic teaching of the Catholic Church. They're members of the social club that was founded in the 1960s. This is the reality of things. It is going to be tension. We got to be just like Moses and sanctuary and be stalwart in the face of these tensions in our lives. Because when we look at it, we've got, as I say, I can't emphasize enough how much more we have than these people back in the day did. Moses. You know, we think, oh, I'd love to be back there with Moses. Why? You know so much more about God. You know so much more about him. You know so much more about him than St. Kateri did. If she didn't get to go to Mass every Sunday, it was far and few between. She didn't get to do that. You do. You know, but if we don't cooperate with the graces that we receive here, we can wind up worse than they are. But it is so glorious to see the Holy Spirit working in us and drawing us deeper if we cooperate with his graces. I mean, God even treats us different in our day. We know a lot more about him, but he treats us different. Moses, here I am. Stop. Take off your shoes. The place you are is on holy ground. Are we required to take our shoes off before we walk into church? Okay, and we don't have a burning bush. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in this place. But we don't have to take our shoes off. But he at least expects us to shut up when we walk into church and to leave our concerns of the world outside and kind of focus for an hour on him. Is that a little expectation? Like I said, you don't come up there, take your shoes off. The Moses hit his face. He didn't ask us to hide our face or turn our eyes away, keep them closed when you're in here. He does ask that you keep custody of them so they're not like wandering about curiously looking at everybody else. Did you see what she was wearing? No. Why did you? Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, we're not obliged to hide our eyes, but we are to keep custody of them. Because the same God that spoke to Moses, spoke to St. Kateri, is the same one that speaks to us. I don't mean verbally, but he's the God of our fathers and our sisters. You know, when we look at him, what he's done through them, he's going to do the same thing to us. And if you do it well, there's going to be people a couple hundred years from now, or might not be a direct understanding, but they're going to have you as an example. This is the reality of how the Holy Spirit works. And when we understand how he works, how he's revealed himself and what he's done through others in our lives, we should put ourselves in a position where he can work through us to touch others. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.